Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up for Jesus today at all of our locations. Come on, Faith Church. I said Jesus is the reason for this season. I'm so excited about what God's doing at our church. You can be seated. Listen, all of our campuses today, I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you're already blessed. You got to sit by me today. It's looking good. Amen, right? Hey, listen, last night, I don't know, a lot of y'all missed it. You should have major FOMO. On Saturday nights, once a year, we do our annual Christmas tree lighting here and in Florida. And it is amazing with face painting and Santa Claus and Christmas trees. And it was just so much fun. If you miss it, don't miss it next year. And then to really, really something you really want to take advantage of is our Christmas special. The Grinch, by the way, that was Chrissy Pratt's daughter and Hunter. Go ahead, give it up for that. That was unbelievable. So that's on all your Facebook. If you go to Faith Church today, Facebook, I want you to share it because friends don't let friends go to hell. And whether you're at Royal Palm or wherever you're at today, I want you to go home this afternoon, get on Facebook, and just share it. And then secondly, the ushers are going to help you with something. If you don't have this booklet, I want you to raise your hand. If you've not seen this booklet, or you want it, or you want another one, raise your hand at all campuses, Earth City, Weldon, Ferguson, Sunset, the Moon, wherever you're at, raise your hand. This shows about the leading of God in the open door of 24. And in the back part, it's got a pledge card. The Bible says that we should make a vow. It doesn't say if you make a vow. It says to make a vow. And once a year, we make a vow to God, and we say, God, over the next year, this is how much money we believe we're going to give over and above our tithes and offerings to reach people for Jesus, to take care of all these churches and to reach people. How many of all these churches helped you? Raise your hand if it's helped you. And so as long as there's a Walgreens on every corner, a CVS on every corner, it used to be like illegal drugs on every corner. Now we've got legalized drugs on every corner, right? But there should be a Faith Church. Don't you agree? They're reaching the community. And so if you think about this is the reason for the season. Like if you went to my little grandson, in fact, he's here in Florida, you could tell him a grandpa by this. I have two suckers in my pocket because this is how I get hugs and kisses from that dude. But at any rate, if you went to his party and you brought you a gift and not him a gift, how many of y'all think that would be kind of weird? A lot of you don't. How many of y'all think that would be weird, right? And so this is the time of the year where it's not your birthday, it's Jesus' birthday. And years ago, we started looking at our checkbook and it reflected, by the way, the ushers are handing these out. Keep your hand up if you need it at whatever location. We said, you know what? We need to have one Sunday a year where we bring Jesus an offering. And it's called the Jesus Offering. Now, we use it for different things. Like this year, we're going to be using it for our matching funds programs. A couple people at our church got together, and they said they'll match, check this out, up to $3 million. If you give $1 million, they'll give $1 million. If you give $1,000, they'll give $2,000. It doubles your gift. So if you want to get more seed in the ground, this Jesus Offering this year is the time to do it, and it's next Sunday. Look at your neighbor and say, bring your checkbook next Sunday, right? Today, everybody shout today. Today's going to be a good day. I tell you what, I got a word from God to you about the open door in 24. I shared a few weeks ago a little bit about it, and you can go back and watch it online if you'd like. I was walking on the beach, and all of a sudden, I saw this door open in heaven, and I believe if you'd have been there, I felt it was so visible to me that I thought you could see it. And it was a regular door, then it went to a double door, then it got really, really wide, then it got small. It was as big as the ocean at times, and then it's small. And God said, the open door in 24 is really up to you. It'll be as big or as small as you allow to happen into your life. Do you know for your life to change, your thinking must change. You got to change the way you think to change the way you live. If you're thinking little, then you'll get little. If you're thinking a lot, you'll get a lot. Everybody shout, think big.
Think big.
Come on, like you had breakfast. Shout it again. What?
Think big.
That's right. So the bigger you think, the more God can expand you. Now, if you're like me and you grew up poor, anybody grew up poor? Talking about you had like one car and parked it on a hill so you could jump start it. Anybody ever had a car that it did not have power windows? In fact, it didn't even have the little deal. You had to put a vice grips on it. Raise your hand. Anybody ever done that right there? Raise your hand. I just want to know who I'm talking to today. It all camps together. And then you actually had to take the vice grips inside because the TV, you didn't have the remote control. If you're old enough, you were the remote control, right? And then, of course, you broke, so the little gauge doesn't work on there, so you got to be, daggum it, I forgot the vice grips out in the car. Got to get the vice grips to go in there and change the channel. Or turn on the pipe in the plumbing in the house. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Broke. Everybody shout broke. But God doesn't want you broke. He wants you blessed. God said, I'm able to bless you with all blessing. Now, we know we're blessed to be a blessing because we can't help people in third world countries like we do and send ambulances to Haiti and rescue girls out of sex trafficking and help hospitals. And we have, about 10 churches in India today that are literal churches with concrete, says Faith Church, with wells. And those people are there getting help today and water because we are blessed to be a blessing. Can somebody shout amen to that? So God gave me this scripture, and I hadn't seen it before, so we're going to go there, 2 Chronicles. Go with me, verse 1. It says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. Look at your neighbor, no matter how old they are, and say, you look like you're about 25 yourself. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And verse 2 says, and he did right in the sight of the Lord. That's important. You could do wrong in the sight of the Lord, but he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his forefather had done. Check this out. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the door. He opened the door. Let that ring in your heart. He opened the door of the house of the Lord to which his father had closed, and he repaired them. Open door in 24. I started studying this out a little bit, and this happened in 726 BC before Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't want to know me before Christ. Mm-hmm. How many of y'all got some BC stories? Some of you don't even want to raise your hand. You're like, I could still be arrested for some of these things. And BC. And this temple was closed for 260 years. Shout that with me. 260 years. That's a long time. But Hezekiah said, I feel like in my heart that God's going to use me to open up these doors. And when I read that, the Holy Spirit led me to it. And he said, I am about to restore closed doors of missed opportunities, setbacks, and make comebacks. I'm about to break generational curses. This is what he told me. He said, people that have low-level thinking, they've inherited that low-level thinking from a previous generation, but he said, I'm raising your standard of living, I'm raising your standard of thinking, and you're going to reopen doors that you never thought. They've been closed a long time. Anybody ever had a door that was closed a long time? God's going to open that door. Now, I was thinking this week when I was reading that about changing the way people think. Again, I'm a big person about thinking. What were you thinking? Anybody ever thought that? What were you thinking? Mm-hmm. Let's try this again. Have you ever seen somebody walking through Walmart and they had an outfit on and you said, what were they thinking? Anybody yourself ever did anything and said, what was I thinking? Anybody ever look back at a high school picture and say, somebody should have stopped me. What was I thinking? Clearly, I wasn't thinking. So I think we got to look at what we're thinking right now to have a better tomorrow. We got to start thinking today. And for our mindset to change and our thinking to change, the people that we hang around has to change. And we got to get the pessimists out of our life, and we got to get some optimistic people in our life. And that means that sometimes, oh, y'all to hear me today, sometimes we got to close the door on some people and say, hey, this door locked. Some of y'all need a ring camera on your past. And they come to the door, you're like, no more in 24. Let's all, I feel that's a word for somebody. Shout no more in 24. So start changing the way you think. I was thinking about Earth City. There was a young man who started coming to Earth City. We've been there a while now. First of all, that was a stretching for me because I remember we first looked at it. You know, it's right there today. If you're sitting in that giant auditorium, I asked them how much the electric bill was on that. And they said a north of $20,000 a month. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh. They said the taxes were almost $1,000 a day. My mind had to stretch. I said, my mind had to stretch. And if your mind doesn't have to stretch to that, I'd like to meet you after church. And I want to talk to you about making donations to the church. But there was a guy there, a young little boy that was DMing us and texting us. They came to the church and he was 14 and he was broke and he didn't have any money. But his grandpa would drive him to church. And that young man asked to meet with me and Nicole. We just started the church, and so we met him for a few minutes before church one service, and he began to share about his dream and about how this church is changing his life and how it expanded his thinking. Now, it's been about 10 years now, but a giant, massive company just hired him to be their CFO, and he broke that generational curse in his past from the church that he went to yesterday. I don't think anybody's hearing what I'm saying right now. I'm telling you, who you hang around makes a difference. And you got to open the door. So if you got a disease, you know, the doctor told you you got 6 months to live, just don't pay your bill and they'll give you another 6 months. You got to get around people that say, hey, with long life, he'll satisfy you. And that happens in a door like this. My marriage isn't going to work. Well, maybe that God's healing you and healing them and changing the situation. But right now, I still want to deal with the area of finances because I want you to be blessed. There's some people at our church here in Florida that their dream was, first of all, they were broke, didn't have any money at all, and they started their company, and they only had $300, and God blessed them. And as they were growing, some 10, 15 years ago, they would drive through a subdivision here in Florida. Anybody ever done that, drove through a subdivision, thought, oh, man, I want to live there? It was a dream to live there. Their business started going really, really good, and they were able to buy a house in that subdivision that just came up for sale. And a couple months ago, they went in there and they put an offer on the house. And then they put the offer on the house and they decided when they got home the next day, they're like, we don't want that house. Wow. We don't, after all these years, we don't even want to live on that street. And so they regretted it. And their agent called and said, you won't believe this, because he didn't even know there was a discrepancy in their decision. But he said, somebody called and they want to buy that house so bad, they're offering you $100,000 to back out of this contract. He said, I don't know. Come on, I don't know. I guess I could if they. And he manipulated it up a little more. I'm here to tell you that God can change your heart and other people's heart. See what I'm saying? And bring you $100,000 for nothing. How many would love somebody that just sends you $100,000 for nothing? Can I get, you'll take $1,000 for nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, you write me a check for $100 and I'll be happy. Right? But again, Hezekiah said, hey, these doors have been closed for 260 years. Just because your door has been closed for 5 years, or you went through a divorce, or you went through a betrayal, or Y2K. COVID wrecked my whole life. It changed the whole world. Everything changed because of COVID. Well, yeah, of course. Things have changed a lot. There was a day that you used to have an 8-track. Remember the 8-track? Yeah. Remember the cassette tape? And you made your mixtapes and sent it to your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and the tape would get messed up. Remember this right here? And you put the pencil in it and wind it back up. Remember that right there? You remember? Anybody remember a telephone with a cord? And you'd wrap yourself around it all day long. And they'd be like, oh, my God, I got to go. Yeah, things change. But guess what else is going to change? Your mindset and your breakthrough. If you grab a hold of an open door at 24, you'll live a life that you never dreamed of. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Yeah. Another story. There's a guy at our church at Weldon, and I might mess these numbers up slightly, but he needed a job, and he went to a job, and he really needed a job with a check. How many of y'all need a job with a check? But they offered him to buy into the company. He's like, I really don't need to be buying into no company. I need my check to be as high as I can, because after the FICA and after the Missouri state tax and the federal state tax, and then they taxed me on my Whopper and they taxed me on my gas, I need all my cash, right? But they talked him into it, and he felt good about it. They said, someday when we sell the company, which he did not know, but the company was so blessed all of a sudden, and it took off, that 8 months later they came in and said, hey, guess what, you ain't got a job no more, but here's a check for $800,000 for your part of the company. He's at Weldon Springs today, and the reason I know this is because he's a tither. By the way, the person that got the $300,000, tither. I've traced it back, and people who have a calorie deficit tend to lose weight. I've traced it back, and people who don't slap other people get slapped less. I've traced it back. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I've traced it back that tithing people, God said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he said, when you give to me, I will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Somebody ought to give God some radical praise. Come on, Sunset, I see you, Earth City. Well, everybody, somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Luke 12:34, I'll put it on the screen for you, Luke 12:34. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I can check phone and see what your treasure is. There's a screenshot of you. I love me. The screenshot of your kids, screenshot of your car. I could talk to you for 5 minutes and I could figure out what's on your heart. I'm really worried about what's going on. I can tell what's on your heart because the Bible says, know this, out of the abundance of the heart, let's shout that together. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For memorization, one more time. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Today I brushed my teeth. When I squeezed the toothpaste, guess what came out?
Toothpaste.
Not preparation H. You grab that, you got the wrong tube. You got to keep that tube in a different cabinet. When you're squeezed, what's coming out of you? Whatever's in you. You'll be surprised. You'll be like, oh, I didn't know I said a word like that. Anybody ever been surprised when the person next to you cussed? Come on, it wasn't you, but you heard them. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So I can tell if you have a heart for the house or you're a kingdom builder by what you think is important. When I talk to people at our church who are really, really blessed and do really great things, the church is what they talk about. How can I, there again, at Weldon, Scott Criswell, when he first came to this church, he just worked at a company. And then he was a tither and a giver, conservative, a saver. He believed in the 10-10-80 program where he gave 10% to God, 10% to his savings, and they lived on the rest. And he just began to sow and to grow until he became the president of the company called Symmetry. Then because he was a Holy Spirit-led guy, a church there at Weldon every Sunday, the Holy Spirit led him to get in the hand sanitation business 2 years prior to a thing called COVID. Or COVID, as some people call it. And he got in the hand sanitizing business, and all the shareholders and everybody said, oh, you know, we don't need to do that. That's not what we do. We're in the cleaning business. He said, I just feel like we're supposed to. And he kept pushing and pushing. And then they put in all the racks, and they put all the machinery, and then they had all the logos, and they had all the bottles. And then when it was all like Donkey Kong, guess who looked like a genius? Scott. Scott said, I don't know. The Holy Spirit led me to do it. I'm telling you that God opened that door just for him. Opened that door so when COVID hit, he was blessed beyond measure. They were flying him to Japan, China. He was trying to do more than anybody else was doing at the moment, and his checks were unbelievable. And we were able to do great exploits for the kingdom of God to the tune of 18 million people this year. 18 million people, according to Nielsen, watched our programs in Palm Beach County and St. Louis County alone. 18 million people. And we never asked for any money. Go ahead, give God praise for that. So what? If you think it's important, God thinks it's important. Now here's what these smart people do. Ecclesiastes verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, cast your bread. Anybody ever called cash bread? You got some bread? Give me some bread. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Notice there's seed, time, and harvest. I'm teaching right now. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know the evil which will fall on the earth. COVID, corruption. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Check this out. He who observes the wind will not sow. I'm going to read it again. He who observes the wind will not sow. Read it with me at every church. What is it? You got to remember, Florida, that 70% of my church in St. Louis is Catholic, so they like it when we do this. Let's read it together, kind of sing-songy. He who observes the wind will not sow. Try it again. He who observes the wind will not sow. Trust me, they love it up there. Give it up for all the Catholic people. Where would we be without Catholic people at our church? So if you observe the wind, you won't sow. In other words, I can't do it now because I can't buy a house. Now the interest rates are high. Well, what if the interest rates are kind of in a good spot for you to actually buy a house because they're going to lower the interest rates. And when they lower their interest rates, all the other dingbats are going to buy houses. And then you're going to pay too much for the house. So you've got to be led and say, I'm going to open this door with my mouth. I'm going to open this door with my faith. I'm going to open this door with my offering that I bring to God. And he's going to put me in places I never dreamed of. Does that make sense? See, raise your hand if that makes sense. He who observes the wind will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. In other words, you can't be crying about somebody that's got a harvest. I wish I had a harvest. I wish somebody gave me $100,000 for a house that I didn't buy. Well, you ain't never signed a contract on a house. Okay. So you can't complain. All you do when you complain is you remain. You complain, you remain. If you praise, you get a raise.
That's good.
Verse 5. And as you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb, you don't understand how this stuff works. Verse 6, in the morning, here's what he says. In the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening sow your seed. For you don't know which one will prosper. So when you're sowing, I'm not talking just money, although I am talking money. If you sow corn, you get corn. If you sow tomatoes, you get tomatoes. If you sow orange seeds, you get orange seeds. If you sow apple seeds, you get apple seeds. What you sow, you grow. The song says, you never get love until you get love. Some of you look like, I can't get no satisfaction. With a face like that, Mick Jagger ain't never getting any satisfaction. You can need a smile on your face and start confessing and prophesying over your next year. Here's where I will live. Here's the way I will think. Here's the way my attitude will be. Here's the way I'll magnify the Lord. Here is what I will weigh. I will take control of my life now. And if I get started now, I'll have a better tomorrow. Does that make sense? Yeah, I got a little thing. Earth City's going to love this. Pastor Ree, here's a video of her. Sometimes she texts me like little videos and stuff. That's her brother, Goat. And that's her family farm. That's a big farm, thousands of acres, and look at the size of the tractor. That's not a person in the backyard going, yeah, I got a tomato plant. Come on, give it up for Pastor Ree. Isn't she something? Florida, you don't know who she is, but go ahead and give it up for anywhere, because trust me, Earth City's going buck wild. She's a single white girl that pastors the biggest black church in St. Louis, okay? Kind of interesting, but it works. I got a lot of people going, she's single? I'm moving to St. Louis. I thought Goat was a threat. No, Goat's her brother. But he can threaten you, I have heard. So the way Ree's family does farming is they're big. They're harvesting big crops, so they need big machinery. Now, if a person just has a little bitty field, they're not going to have a big harvest. But if a person has a massive field, they need massive grain bins and they need massive machinery to bring in the harvest. May I prophesy to you and let you know this? At all the churches that you're sitting in today, I'm just a little homeschooler from St. Louis, Missouri, and God told me to go on television. That's all he told me to do. I said, God, I'm not going to go on TV because I don't like TV preachers. And he told me I don't like them either. No, he didn't tell me that. But I said, God, I don't like TV preachers. I don't want to ask for money. And he said, you don't have to ask for money. Jump up here, Austin, real quick so everybody can see you. So Austin was 7 or 8 years old when I got him, okay? Now, he was a little bitty dude, but now he's a real big dude. And the reason why he got really big is because he ate a lot of food. And he has a biological dad in Dallas who's a wonderful guy who would always send Austin his, child support check. That's right. And so the child support check would only cover about a third of what this monster ate, right? But it did help feeding him the food. So God spoke to me. He said, you know the way Austin's dad sends the child support? I said, yeah. He said, if you'll feed my kids, I'll send the child support. So I went on television with 180 people in St. Louis and said, I'm not pointing the finger at you this way. I'm pointing the finger at you this way. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And the church started growing. Somebody ought to help me right now. Till it became one service and five services and eight services. Until it became one service, campus and two campuses and three campuses and four campuses and five campuses and six campuses and seven campuses and eight campuses and nine. Because guess what? People will come where they're seeing God move, where they feel the presence of Jehovah, and they don't feel like they're hearing a sermon every week saying, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Guess what? We've been in hell. We're on our way to heaven. We're not a victim, but we're a victor. Somebody ought to shout amen. It's a big harvest machine. It's a big old machine. It's a big, big. It costs a lot of money to fill it. Costs a lot of money to pave it. Costs a lot of money to employ it. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Do you want a little life or do you want a big life? People think different. My friend today, they told me at Royal Palm, Glenn from Palm Beach, he's there. They said, hey, Glenn's here. Glenn's watching me right now. Glenn thinks different than we do. He has a big boat. And the reason why he has a yacht, I think they call him a yacht because it costs a yacht of money to put gas in it. If you saw our sermons off of his boat, it's a huge boat. There's all these floors and all these ceilings and all these things. But Glenn don't think like everybody else. Here's the problem, though, with Glenn. Glenn usually won't tell me what he's thinking or how he's thinking. It's like, throw a brother a bone. Okay. But he thinks different than everybody else thinks. Therefore, he lives different than everybody else. Yeah. He's very generous and helps other people, and I'm so glad. And here's what I love about our church. Our church can have a person over here that doesn't have two nickels to rub together, and you got people over here that own major organizations, because this thing works, and the longer you stretch your brain, the more you realize the door has been closed, but God's about to open up a new door of opportunity to you, you'll realize it can happen to you. That's why I told you the story a second ago about me being homeschooled. It can happen to you. Everybody shout, it can happen to me. Shout it one more time. What?
It can happen to me.
You got to renew your mind and stay faithful. The Bible said this, that the faithful person shall abound in the blessing. Everybody shout, abound in the blessing.
Abound in the blessing.
In a moment, I'm going to show a video by John Maxwell. John's sold more leadership books than anybody in the world. He's a friend, a mentor, a coach. In fact, he's going to preach for us at the end of January. You don't want to miss that. And speak at our Kingdom Builders event. And John's got a little thing that he calls the boomerang effect, and I want you to watch that.
A blessed life is the best life. To want the best for ourselves and the best for our family, the best for the people that we love, our friends, our people that are in our community. So when I think of a blessed life, I think it always includes and involves other people. So when I say have a blessed life, what I really want for you is I want you to bless someone else. And then is when you find what I call the boomerang of blessing. The boomerang of blessing is as you bless others, it comes right back to you. And the more that you bless others, the more that you get blessed. And now you are beginning to see the big picture, the revolving picture of the blessed life.
Come on, give it up for that, the boomerang effect. And this is found in Luke 6:38. You know the scripture, but read it maybe like for the first time with your eyes really open. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. It will be poured into your lap. With the measure that you use, or the amount that you measure out, is the way it would be measured back to you. In other words, what you give today, you harvest tomorrow. What you give today, you harvest tomorrow. Shout that with me. What? What you give today, you harvest tomorrow. It doesn't happen instantly. It just happens in time. When I was 15, which is like more than 10 years ago, and I wanted a car. Anybody old enough to remember when kids wanted to drive at 16? Remember that? Now they're like, oh, let's call Uber. You're my driver. What's up with that? But how many of you old enough to remember, when I turn 16, I'm going to get a car and I'm going to leave home because I don't like the way they run it up in here. And I wanted a car. And my dad had told me over the years he was going to help me buy a car. And then at 15, he told me, hey, the Lord impressed me to let you believe God for it. And I'm like, that wasn't the Lord. That's the devil. You're a liar. But now looking back at it, it was the Lord causing me to grow, lifting stuff. You got to think now the church needs about $300,000 every 7 days for it to run. Can you imagine that? Do the hourly rate on what it costs to get $300,000 on a 40-hour work schedule. So if you waste an hour of my time, I've got something to make up. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm here to tell you that my stress never goes back to its original size, and my dad was teaching me the laws of giving it shall be given. You always get more than you give. I heard one of my dear friends, he's a great preacher, has one of the biggest churches in America, and this last week I was listening to him a little bit. We text a lot, and he said something that I totally disagree with. He said, to try to be nice to everybody, he goes, you know, I'm not saying if you give that God's going to give you money back. And I'm like, what? Of course you're not saying that. God said that. He said, if you give, he's going to give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And it offends me that you would insult God to make people think that God's not going to bless them if they give. Because first of all, they couldn't give if God didn't bless them. All blessing comes from the Lord, right? In Proverbs, it says, he who waters or he who gives will be watered himself. So that just offended me. I love him. I don't want to have that discussion, but I don't want my church to be stupid like that. If you give to God, he will give to you. So there was a program, kind of like I was sharing with you, where our church, my dad's church, is raising money for a thing called Live in 85. It's this thing they were doing. And I was a 15-year-old kid with no job, no money. And $1,000 in 1985 was a whole lot more money even than it is today, although it's a lot of money today. And I decided that I was going to give God $1,000. And so what I did is I wrote an IOU. God, I owe you $995 because I had $5. But I took the $5 that was in my hand and I planted that seed in the ground And I started believing God for harvest. And then little things started coming up here and there. And then I remember I owed God $889 and I owed God $665. And I got around $500. And my dad was going to preach in California, in Lancaster, California, for a guy named Ty Beeson. And this guy, Ty, told my dad, I want you to bring your son. I want him to speak to our youth. Well, I'd never spoke to youth in my life. And I was not the cool California dude. I was the dude from Fresh Prince. What's the guy's name? Carlton, right? I was Carlton. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wore a jacket. I had Sansa belt pants. There was nothing cool about me. And now I'm going to go out there and speak. And I spoke, and I did, you know, kind of preach my dad's sermon and what old people talk about, not what young people, they could care less about it. But at the end, the guy told me, Ty Beeson, he said, someday you're going to be a good preacher. In other words, you're not today, but someday you'll be. And he said, I want to be one of the first people to invest in your life. And he gave me in 1985 a check for $1,000. I said, oh my gosh. I told my dad, he said, oh, praise God, you can pay your pledge. And of course, I said, yeah, I'm gonna. He said, if I were you, I would give the whole thing. Wow. Like, of course you would. You're a preacher, for God's sake. Shouldn't get all my money. Of course you would. Now, my dad wasn't trying to get money from me. He said, what if you use this and said, the Bible says this, it says, I will give seed to the sower and bread for the eater. That's what it said. I'll give you seed for the sower, bread for the eater. So if you ain't got no seed, it tells me you're not a sower. Wow. Wow. I got $100,000. To back out of a contract. By the way, he sowed that seed. He used the 100, gave it to the church. I'm here to tell you that those kind of people, God looks and he says, oh, who can I use? Who can I trust? Well, I would give God money if I had money. Well, why don't you give him the money that you got right now? That's what I was doing. And so I went ahead and gave the $1,000. And I wasn't excited about it. I walked away sad. Dadgummit, I could have bought a $1,000 car, you know, still on my feet out here walking around. And then time passes. Now I'm 15 and a half. That means you're 6 months away from getting your driver's license. And this guy named Mike is a business guy who comes to speak for my dad and does this business promotion thing. And at the end, he takes a real liking to me. And he said the same thing the other guy said. He said, I really see something in your son. And someday he's going to be something. I'm like, man, someday. When is someday? So before he left, he said, on Monday, before I leave, I'm going to go with you. And you'll know this in St. Louis. There's a road called Lindbergh. It's where everybody cruises on South Lindbergh with you top down listening to, I like big butts on a can, I lie. Those of them can't deny. Remember cruising when you were little, young? Some of you have never cruised? And he went to Dondar Pontiac, and he went in on the showroom floor, and there was a red Trans Am, a 1985 red Trans Am with a silver eagle on it with T-tops, and the car was $15,500. I had given $1,500 to the church. He did not know that, and he said, we want that car. He paid cash for that car. I never paid a payment. I brought it home. The only problem is I'm 15 and a half. God has blessed me beyond my ability to use the car. I'm out in the driveway. Man, how much longer? It's the longest 6 months of my life. There's people in prison that didn't have as hard of a time as I did for 6 months. Listen, I believe that God is going to bless you off the seed that you sow in the Jesus offering in 23. Somebody ought to shout amen. And you're going to harvest an open door in 24. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Somebody ought to get excited today in Earth City or Ferguson, Florida. I said, if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Don't you listen to the devil anymore. Every closed door was God's way of saying that was closed so you can walk through the right one. Right door, Bob. Stand with me real quick at all campuses. Stand with me. I want you to high-five your neighbor a couple times on both sides. Hit the one person and then hit the person that you thought of last. Shout this with me. Shout, I believe that my best days and my blessed days are out ahead of me. And I prophesy over my life. I'm blessed, favored, healthy. Look at your neighbor and say, you're already good looking. Start saying stuff about you. You ever, as I kind of wrap up, anybody ever notice like there's a voice in your head sometimes and it's a negative voice? You're too fat, you're too short, you're too old, you're going to die young, people don't like you. Anybody ever heard any of these things? You got to rewire that. You look. Have you ever looked in the mirror for a while and and you couldn't figure out why you had hair above your eyeballs or the eyebrows. Maybe it's just me, but I've looked and thought, what is up with, there's hair above my eyebrows. Some of you should, because you've got a unibrow, just one all the way across, you tweeze that. You can stare at yourself too long in the mirror and start being hypercritical of you. God, he designed you with a purpose and for a purpose. You're not too fat, you're not too short, you're not too old, you're not too tall, you're not too black. Yeah, everybody want to be some. And only black people would understand this. White people get nervous right now. But if you tell a little bitty skinny black girl she's skinny, she's going to get mad. In fact, I did. My daughter, she dates Paris, and Paris's little sister was over at the house, and I said, girl, you're so skinny. She said, I'm thick. She weighs 12 pounds wet. She said, I'm thick. Now, if you tell a white girl you're thick, she's going to black both your eyes. Come on, am I telling the truth right now? Just different. Look at your neighbor and say, it's just different. That's all. So what I want to, reason why I said that was this. When you go to faith church, I want you to say what I'm saying about you. When the devil said you're financially thin, you need to say, I'm thick, I'm fat, I'm robust, I'm blessed, I'm anointed, I'm an overcomer. God has anointed me, and I am declaring and decreeing right now that I'm blessed, I'm favored. Sing it, all hail, King.
All hail, King.
Come on, every campus.
Jesus.
Come on, you can do better than that. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Who's got a new door in 24? Who's picturing your blessed life? This girl here, I forget your name. Come here one second. I'm so sorry. I'm terrible with names. Maria. So Maria is here this weekend interviewing for a ministry job. And we were out last night with the worship team. And I noticed she had this really cool tattoo on the back of her arm. And it's a picture of this woman doing this. And I said, what is that? What does that represent? She pulls out her phone, and it's a picture of her mother in a prayer line. Wow. And her mom, before she was born, a woman came up to her. Was it a woman or a man?
It was a woman.
It was a woman pastor. And she came up and said, I see that God is getting ready to use you basically to birth this anointed person. And the mother didn't even know she was pregnant, but they had taken a picture of what she was prophesying over. So that mom had told her as she was born, that was the day I found out that you were going to be here. And she tattooed that vision on her arm. And the reason I said that is this. When I saw her singing a second ago, I thought, wow. Isn't that wild that there was a prophetic word spoke into the unseen that you're pregnant with something that you can't see? And obviously she was, because how many of y'all can see her now and hear her now? And she had the good sense to say, I'm going to put that prophetic anointed mother on my arm. And I want to tattoo that on your heart today. I want to pray for you before we watch this outreach ministry video that you paid for. And I want to pray that God imprints your heart today. God's doing something. I can feel it in every campus. By the way, he's healing people of terminal diseases. The Lord just spoke to me and said, I'm healing cancer. I'm healing long-term diseases. And I'm healing some things that have just been a physical irritation. That's what I heard. A physical irritation. The Lord is healing that in every campus, online, around the world. Shout, I receive it now. Jesus' name. Church believes in healing. There's not a healing anointing here. God, I pray for every campus today to move in and out every aisle and up and down every row and tattoo a new tattoo on their heart. not one. You see some people in prison that says born to lose or hate. No, we're not born to lose. We're born to win. We're an overcomer. God, as we go into this few short days of 23, we're going to celebrate you. We're going to go to church. We're going to bring a Jesus offering. We're going to invite our friends to church, and we're going to go out with a bang. We're going to sow some seeds in people's lives that'll harvest in the years to come. And God, I thank you today that this message is going to imprint their life like Hezekiah. These closed doors that were closed, they're about to open. Jobs are coming. Opportunities are coming. Invitations are coming. Open door at 24. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand. As you